Wonderful. I asked Doreen, you play? She's like, un poquito. And she did a great job. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. How's everyone doing? Good? Happy Sabbath. Amen. Beautiful day today. Had my little drive from Brewster, and every single time I see something different. It's just beautiful, beautiful out there today. People say, oh, you're going to get used to it, and it's going to be like nothing, but I don't know. I can never get used to it. I don't know. This is beautiful. Today's sermon is titled, Moved by Compassion. Moved by Compassion. You know, as we enter the weekend, my son just finished telling me, Dad, they should make Mother's Day a weekend, Mother's Day weekend, not just a day. And I said, yeah, that's true, that's true. You know, mothers are indeed very special. I wanted to play this video for you in remembrance a little bit of what moms do. You know, they really go out of their way for us children. And so they're very special to us. If we can play that video, what my mom has done for me, I can never repay her back. At 16, she had to make the choice whether to abort me or have me and bring me into this world. She had told me, or actually I overheard her speaking to her friend about that struggle, making that decision whether to have me or not, as she walked to the clinic and she made the choice to turn around. If not, I wouldn't be here today to speak to you. And so even though I wasn't planned, she planned to have me and give me the best love the way that she knew how. And I also had sort of my mind of my own. And my mother and I, she probably was more like my big sister versus my mom. But now I appreciate her even more as, you know, her being my mom. I think that even though sometimes we neglect or sometimes forget to call our moms, you know, they're always there, a phone call away sometimes, you know, and they're always willing to hear us out, looking for us, seeking for that attention, recognizing. You know what's beautiful, though, of this whole thing? That Jesus doesn't, he doesn't go without noticing. Jesus notices all the moms, those that are actual moms and those that are spiritual moms. I've had the opportunity to have both in my life, and both of them have raised me up to be the man that I am today. There was times that my mom had to hit me over the head with a broom because I was bad. I would beat up on my brother a lot. And so that's how she would chase me with the broom on the house, trying to hit me with the broom. And there was time that my spiritual mom at church had to pull my ear because I was being bad or I was talking too much. And so I appreciate those things. I appreciate both. Both have, again, have allowed me to become the man that I am today, and I'm very grateful for that. But, you know, like I said before, Jesus does take notice and he sees everything. There's a story in the book of Luke, chapter 7, that proves this point. And I want you to open up your Bible so you can follow this short story that I'd like to share with you today. In the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse 11 is where we're going to start. And as you turn your pages, I'm going to go ahead and start a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you thanking you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for your ultimate compassion towards us, towards humankind. We thank you for the mothers out there who always find a way to solve our problems, or they are always praying for us for mercy on our souls. And so I thank you for noticing them, especially in this particular story that we'll discuss today. May we be able to somehow, some way, identify with it, let it sit in our hearts, but also be able to share it with others. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So this story here begins in Jesus, with Jesus walking. He just had his Sermon on the Mount, and he's walking towards this place. It says here in Luke 7, chapter 7, verse 11. It says, "Now it happened that the day that he, Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd." So Jesus was walking towards a city called Nain, which this name of this city called Nain is actually, the meaning of that particular name is beauty. So keep that in mind. The city's name is called Beauty for some reason. And so as he's walking there, my friends, what happens? Well, in verse 12 it says, "And he came near the gates of the city of Nain, and behold, a dead man was being carried out." That's not a beautiful sight, is it? A dead man he carried out, and the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. And says, a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, what did he do? Did he say, "Oh, stop crying"? Did he say that? No, he had what? Compassion on her and said to her then, "Do not weep." So here we have Jesus. He's walking into this city that is beautiful. It's considered beautiful. But yet the sight that he sees is not a beautiful sight. It's actually a pretty deary one, one that really just we all don't like very much. And so as he sees the crowd of people coming through with this man in what's called a gigantic basket. We'll just call that for now because that's what it was. It wasn't a coffin per se, the way that we have coffins today. It was actually, they put the body in a gigantic basket, like a woven basket, but a really big one. And so they're carrying this man and this woman who is weeping. I mean, what woman wouldn't weep? What mother wouldn't weep for her child for in the process of her losing her child? Now the question here is, what business does Jesus have telling someone not to weep? Like, would you go to a funeral and be like, "My sincere condolences, but please stop crying. Please stop the crying"? Would we do that? No, we would not do that, right? We wouldn't dare do that. But Jesus knew better than that. We're not just talking about anyone here. This is Jesus telling someone not to cry. Stop weeping. Even though she had the right to weep. Even though she had the right to weep. And so the question that comes to my mind is, what reasons could we give as to why Jesus had compassion for this woman, first of all? As he was walking through, what reasons, can we think at least of two? One comes to my mind right away, and it is that what? That as he's walking by, I could just picture him looking over his shoulder. Now, he could have ignored her and could have ignored this whole situation, but it's Jesus. It was his business, right? He was on a mission. And out of this whole crowd, he just notices, right? This woman. Out of this whole crowd, not just any woman, but a mother. Now, I can only picture, there's no actual commentary on this. I actually kind of came up to my mind on my own. I could just only picture that maybe Jesus saw this woman and had compassion over her because he saw his mother. He saw his mother and he could identify. And maybe that one day his mother would also be in tears for the same reason that I had. And I said, wow, that's incredible how Jesus' mindset, right? And so he had compassion over this woman. So number one, it had to be because he identified somehow, some way with her. The other one that is more cultural is that not only is she a widow, But she's what? Now she doesn't have a son. Is there a name for that? Is there a name? I mean, there's a name for, but there's no name for that. And basically, in that society, if your husband dies and you become a widow, the next best thing that can help you to continue to have some type of status, some type of value in society, was your son. Okay, bless you. Was your son. So now what gave her value in life, now she does not have any more. Can you imagine that? You just are worthless now to society. You're basically dead yourself. And so we don't know if the crowd that was following because they felt bad for her, or they knew of the situation, they knew that this was a good son, and maybe a tragedy happened. We don't know, but we can only assume that the crowd that was supporting her knew of this condition, knew what was going on, and kind of had to put themselves in their shoes, in her shoes. There's a word for that, and that is compassion. Compassion means to be sympathetic. A deeper meaning means to be sympathetically conscientious, meaning putting yourselves in someone else's shoes of their distress and your desire to alleviate it. Now, when we see someone in distress, like we go to a funeral and we see the person in pain, right? Or we go to the hospital and we see that there is a problem with, you know, there's a situation happening that it seems as though there's nothing that we really can do to alleviate the person's pain, but we try, right? We say, is there anything that you need? Or we usually say, if there's anything you need, please let us help you, you know, or call me. And when we try to be sympathetic, right, there's only so much that we can do. I'm going to change here because this is making me crazy. It was like too much of you back there.
One, two.
All right. And so there's so much that we there's only so much that we can do. But in reality, can we take the pain away? In reality, can we really put ourselves in that person's shoes? We don't know what the person's how the person's feeling and how bad it is affecting them. We can only what? Try to alleviate the pain. But even with that being said, we're only just so good, I guess you can say. We can only do so much for the person. Now, the beautiful thing here is, and you know, in our language, I tried to find the actual word to see if there was something that resonated with the loss of a son or a daughter, something to that effect. And the only me thinking that there was someone else that already thought about it. There's no word in English to describe it, so they've been looking for one. And this this professor in Duke University had this one particular word, which also we utilize the word widow for them, or we took the word widow from them, me being that you lost your spouse, or in this case your husband. And so viloma in Sanskrit word means against a natural order. Viloma would be the word closest to it because it means against natural order. Against natural order. And so it's against the natural order for a mother to what? Bury their child. That is against natural order, at least humanly, you know, here in earth. Okay, in the sinful earth that we live, it is the natural order of things, or in this case, against our natural order. I'm sorry. And so, the crazy thing here is that Jesus, as he was coming down and he saw this situation with the mother crying and having compassion over her, what does he do? He then comes and he stops the coffin, right? It says here in verse 14, then he came and touched the open coffin, which to the Jews, that was crazy. What is this man doing? He stops the coffin. He touches it on top of that. Why is that crazy? Well, number one, because in Jewish customs and Book of Numbers, somewhere around there, there is an actual law against touching the dead. There's an actual law touching anything that has to do with the dead, the coffin, the big basket, whatever you want to call it. And so the law is so vigorous, it's so like important to them, because if you stop that, then they have to stop the whole ceremony for 7 days. Do you know what happens to your body within 7 days? It starts to decompose. And do you know how that smells? Okay. So it's not a very good thing. What is Jesus doing? Is he insane? Why is he doing this? He's making this woman suffer even more. That's what they probably thought. Jesus got to be crazy. But I beg to differ. Because the power comes here as he then stops. What does he do? In verse 14, as it says, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Get up. Wake up. Arise. And then verse 15 says, so he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus presented him to his mother. What an amazing story. The truth is that even though this all went against the natural order, she was a widow, now she was a viloma, against the natural order, Jesus broke that natural order. Thank you. Amen. Jesus broke that natural order, my friends. The truth is, death is not a natural order to Jesus. Death is not a natural order to Jesus. At the end of the day, John 10:10, what does it state? I am come they that may have life, that they may have it in abundantly. Amen. So at the end of the day, you know, even though it was Jewish customs and all these things, you know, it was just a highlight, right? Where when Jesus rose this person from the dead, it teaches us a couple things. Number one, Jesus is the only one to stop death from happening. Amen? Jesus is the only one to stop death from happening. He paused it. It's just amazing. It's like when he came to the coffin, he paused the whole ceremony of death. Not only for that man that day, but for all of us. The moment that he sacrificed himself on a cross for you and me, he paused it. He says, death no more. Amen? The second thing that I saw that it just amazed me was the fact that he noticed this woman. Out of everyone in the crowd, he noticed this woman, and he could really identify with her. And he had compassion. He was sympathetic. He put himself in her shoes. And I could just picture him as he looks into her eyes and presents her son, who's now alive, to her. And now she is not she's still a widow, but she's no longer a viloma. Now she has value again. You see, when Jesus comes to our life, we have value again in the same way. And so I really believe this, and this is something that I want you guys to think about before leaving today. We cannot overlook the work of Jesus and not be moved by his compassion towards humanity. Okay, we cannot overlook it. We have to really look at his work and his effort and how his compassion moved the crowds, how his compassion changed everything around him. This movement causing us to believe that compassion leads to the increasing of faith and faith to our transformation. Let me continue here in verse 16 so you can see what I mean by that. He says, after he gave the child to the mother, says, then fear came upon all, And they glorified who? God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all of Judea and all the surrounding region. My friends, this transformation, this miracle that God, that Jesus did, it basically set a pretty much like a little pebble falling into a pond, a ripple effect, giving people hope when there was no hope. But it also, I believe, it taught them something that was very important. And that was that death cannot hold Jesus. That life, at the end of the day, that life is so precious that Jesus, it doesn't matter who it is or what it is, that Jesus is willing to give it and give it in abundantly. But we have to have the compassion. Each and one of us here, each one of us here now has life and life in abundantly because you accepted Jesus Christ in your life. Michelle. And so I really believe that that compassion that we feel for others, and I know it's hard. I don't know if you guys have done something for someone and it's not only unnoticed by people, but it's unnoticed by that person. They sometimes don't even say thank you. You know, it's happened. I mean, we're all human. We all sometimes forget, you know. How hard sometimes, though, it is when the person doesn't even show that they appreciate it and either throw it away or do away with it or don't even recognize, right? It's hard to go again and do it for someone else. I know that we go through that as humans. We're like, well, yeah, man, you create like this hard heart sometimes because of it. But Jesus never did that. Jesus, at the end of the day, he did it over and over again, relentlessly, just healing people and giving them life and life in abundance. There was a story of a mother and a father. They raised 10 kids, 10 wonderful children. Most of them became doctors and others nurses, and they all were in the medical field, except for one. And every year they would meet for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and every year the whole table was filled with all the kids and the grandchildren, and all the chairs were all filled up and all that, except for one chair. And as the father sits at the end of the table, you know, like dads do, right? We sit at the end of the table, and he looks at all his children, and he's just so happy because he says, you know what? I did a pretty good job. I did a pretty good job. You know, all my kids went to school. They studied. They became these important people, doctors and whatnot. And you know what? I did a pretty good job. While the mother is cooking up and finishing her dinner, she's sobbing and crying. Why is she sobbing and crying? Because there was just one empty seat. And every year she hoped that empty seat would come back home. You know, Jesus has compassion over us day in and day out. He's just waiting for us to come home. That's all. He's just waiting for us to come home. You may have had a rough week. Maybe you had some challenges this week and didn't get to talk to Jesus very much. Well, today's the time. Today's the day to reach out to him. That's what Sabbath is about, to reconnect with our Lord. Where we failed, where we messed up, today he has the compassion to heal you. Today he has the compassion to restore you. Today he has the compassion to give you life and life in abundance. The choice is yours, though. That seat is still there for you. It's still there for me. It's up to you to come home and sit at the welcome table. We can do a lot of things in life. We can choose to ignore walking around like a dead person in a casket. Pretend that we're happy coming to church. Pretend that we're happy in our jobs. Pretend that our family's okay. I did the best I could. But there's always some that little something that's missing. And we just need to reach out to Jesus and bring it back home. I want you guys to do something this week for me, if you can. Number one, make sure you call your moms, for those that have your mom still around. Make sure you call her. And if you can't call her, go see her. Give her a hug and a kiss. Many people wake up today and don't have their moms. You know, they're very special. And let's see.
Hello, darling.
Hey, Mom, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, bendición.
What's going on?
So I'm talking to my congregation, and I'm telling them to call their mom for Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom. Yes, and you have to lead by example.
And I have to lead by example. So I just want to tell you I love you, Mom.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Thank you for loving me and giving me the life that you did. I appreciate you.
And trust me, it's hard to love you, okay? Just kidding. You know that's not true.
Okay. Well, you know they can hear you,
you're
right?
You're my sweet
honey. All right, Mom. I know. I love you.
How's everybody doing over there?
Everybody's doing good, right? Everybody's doing good? Amen. Everybody's doing good, Mom.
Okay, well, tell Barbie I said happy Mother's Day, and thank you for being the wonderful mom that she is to my grandchildren.
Okay.
And I love her, and I hope that you have a great Mother's Day as well.
Thanks, Mom. I love you, too. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, baby.
All right.
All right, honey.
Love you. Bye. Call your moms. Write her a note. Send her some flowers. I haven't called my mom in like 2 weeks, so I was due for that. yeah. My mom's a tough cookie. She went through a lot, you know. But she recently got baptized, and she came home. Amen. And so I'm glad for that. And I hope that you can have that experience too today. Let us pray and bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for being so awesome with us in the way where you're so detailed, like a mom. Thank you for sometimes pulling our ears and sometimes just letting us be and growing and getting to know things on our own. Thank you for your word that guides us and gives the opportunity to go through the process of knowing you better. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, for giving us the opportunity to come to you humbly, asking you for forgiveness and repenting of our sins, and being able to be a new creature and walk with you. Father, I ask for a special blessing over the mothers today. I know that they're very special. Each and one of them have their own ways of being a parent. And I thank you for all the love that they've given to each and one of us here today. Please bless them and continue to let them know, Father, that you love them dearly as well. We love you, Father, and we just ask you to continue to be with us on this Sabbath, and that today, starting today, we can take flight knowing that you're always there for us, and that no matter what happens in life, we can always count on you to resurrect us from our dead moments. We love you, and we thank you. And we pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.